for all your miseries in my bag. At the end of the lecture, it will be revealed. Hare Krishna. So, let us start. As devotees settle in. Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Viha Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari Gopi Dana Vallava Giri Varadari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Shila Prabhupada. Jaya Radha Shyama Sundara, Radha Shyama Sundara, Radha Shyama Sundara, Shri Radhe. Jaya Giriraja, Jaya Giriraja, Jaya Giriraja, Jaya Giriraja, Gaur Premanandi, Hari 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 Bo. Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavani Askatyare Sadarine Jai Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya welcome all of you to this third lecture, which is entitled Follow the Path of the Lovers. There is a verse which I believe Gaur Krishna can supply to me, Padyavali 93, which gives us a good idea what in Rupa Goswami's mind love of Godhead means. It was in the winter of 1514 where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with the foremost of his students or disciples, Srila Rupa Goswami, just north the Trivenis of the Triveni Sangam in Prayag. There was a ghat. You can visit this ghat today, the Dashashvamedha ghat, where he taught Rupa Goswami the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavatam. And he actually summarized in some way this with an image. He compared bhakti, or devotional love for Krishna that manifests in devotional service, with a fruit, a very rare fruit. The seed of this fruit is given to us, but the cultivation of the seed, so that the seed can develop into the fruit, is absolutely in our own hands. So this is what he says. These verses are very well known, and most of you are familiar with it. But I request you nevertheless to listen again to it, because we will bring these verses home to our situation. We will relate them to our situation. So here it is. While wandering throughout the universe, some fortunate living beings, by the grace of Guru and Krishna, receive the seed for the creeper of bhakti. After this, a devotee is supposed to become a gardener and sows this seed deep within the heart. Then he sprinkles it with the waters of hearing and glorifying Sri Krishna. Now when the creeper sprouts and grows, it pierces through the layers of the universe and goes out of the universe, and growing, 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 reaches Goloka Vrindavan. The biology students here might think, how can a plant grow in that atmosphere of the cosmos where there is no oxygen? Prabhu, it's a mystical plant. This is an analogy. There, when it has reached Goloka Dham, it climbs onto the desire tree of Krishna, lotus feet, and then it produces the fruit of prema. I jump over a few verses. When this happens, when the seed which one has received from the Guru has taken root in our heart, and when it goes into the grows into the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan, then it produces this fruit. Now this fruit can then be enjoyed by the gardener who's here on this earth. The gardener then happily tastes the juice or rasa of that fruit of prema, even while he is in this world. And Lord Chaitanya ends, this is the ultimate attainment, the ultimate purushartha, in comparison to which the four purushartas are like straw. This means dharma, sense gratification, what else? What are the four? Dharma, karma, wealth, untold wealth, and even moksha. They are compared with useless straw. These things where the human beings are so crazy after, you know, following some dharmic principles. These are my principles. getting some sense gratification and expanding it, then wealth, ooh, and even then enlightenment, no, this is all life's draw in comparison to this love which the gardener tastes. Now to make us a little bit understand how it tastes when the fruit of love of Godhead is attained by someone, and why exactly it is so powerful that we forget all our other goals, I want to share with you a verse from Rupa Goswami's Padyavali. And here, in this verse, in the poetry of this verse, you will find that the poetry of other genuine spiritual path meet really with Rupa Goswami. They express in this poetry these path things through images. O Lord Krishna, a devotee prays for this taste of the fruit because he knows what it does will do for him. I pray that the remnants of your food, prasadam, no, may become as palatable to me as a young woman's lips are palatable for her beloved. No? So I want to become that in that type, in this way, so attached to your prasadam. I pray that the narration of your pastimes may become as sweet to my ears as the words of a young girl are to her beloved. No? When a man hears the words of his beloved friend, he feels it as very, very, oh, can you please tell me more? You know, I like to hear very much. I pray that the sight of your transcendental form, that is the deity, pictures of Krishna, the sight of your transcendental form may become as pleasing to my eyes as the beauty of a young bride is to her husband. No, when the husband sees the young bride in her uncovered beauty, then he looks with great delight in that direction. No, this same thing I want to feel for you, Krishna. And I pray that I may always chant your holy name with the same eagerness that a lover reads aloud a letter from his long separated beloved. No, when finally, after waiting, there was no internet at that time, the emails or WhatsApp messages could quickly be passed. After waiting for a long time, when finally, oh, I got a letter. She or he wrote me a letter. Let me study this letter. Let me read it aloud so that I can commit it to memory, because this will give my life a good dose of energy and inspiration, motivation. This is how love of God is, you know. It's a kind of exclusive focus on things that have to do with Krishna. The example of this exclusive focus is that of a lover who is exclusively focused on the beloved. I do know many of the older devotees, the Prabhupada disciples, they were so impressed by Prabhupada and how he responded, how lovingly he cared for us, that we also like to go back in our memory to those moments where we met his divine grace and where we were objects of his affection. Now 50 years and more after his, I don't know, this departure was 1977, isn't it? Yeah, no, yes. So now, can someone do the maths? What is 48 years. We disciples have now become old and we do think, you know, one after the other goes and departs this world, but what gives pleasure to us is this repeated memories of how we received affection from his divine grace. I, for instance, remember that time when I could massage him, and when in my mind I wanted that to massage his lotus feet, but I thought it's impossible, I'm so impious, how can I hope such a thing? And then, as if reading my mind, Prabhupada looked at me and just, I can only show you like this, threw his feet in my lap, and I went there, made sure I gave. So he, there is love in this exchange. No, and here, a more common example of love is given of the world, which is there in the world, the love between men and women. No, if you want to read this verse and help your temple audience to blush, you can, by the vivid imagery, it's text 93 of Patiavali, no? This is how eager the devotee wants. We can now return this mobile telephone. What? What? Closer, okay. Thank you. My dear devotees, I will now come to a section where I will appeal to your intellectual strengths. No? To catch this point, you will have to concentrate. It will be new information. You will have to think about it. And don't scream Hari Bol quickly. Think first about it. It is very, very important. What do we mean when we speak of divine love? We speak of a love beyond love. These are catchy phrases. You can almost download them from AI. What do we mean with love beyond love? It is a love we speak about which we don't find in this world. It's an uncommon love. It's an extraordinary love. It is a love that is not defined in this world. It is out of the world love. Let us first understand what is in the world love, worldly love. I couldn't think of a better reference than Erich Fromm, who published a book in 1956, when most of us were not yet born, which he entitled The Art of Loving. If you publish nowadays such a book, where people mistake physical expressions of it's really lust, no? as love, you have to be careful, because it sounds like Kama Sutra, but it is not. The art of loving is a very, very interesting analysis of why human beings feel such a thing as love. And we don't speak about this physical love here. In this book, From Argus makes two very strong arguments. First of all, why do we love other human beings like our children, other friends, and so on? Why do we love nature? Why do we love even God? We speak now of human love for God, human love for babies, human love for partners. Why do we do this at all? And he says, we want to overcome the feeling of being separate, because we know by love that is reciprocated, we come very close to our baby, a small child, to our mother and father, to our friends. If there is love, that is the super glue, you understand, sticky substance, which brings people together, and they are no longer separate from each other. That's why human beings also want to love God. There are many who talk about this. It is born out of a personal need to overcome the feeling of being far away, being not in union, being not close. No, it is thing. Now the second interesting point is that the love that human beings in this world have for God, and we speak of worldly love here. You get the point. You can love God in a worldly way, that is out of a personal need to overcome you feeling so alone and so uncared for and so abandoned and so like this, no? You have a need. It's not selfless love. That type of love changes as humanity or civilizations go through different phases. During the phase of matriarchy, when the mother or the woman was very prominent, God was the great mother. And this you find in Celtic religions, in religions that have that are based on nature, and so on, and so on. So, at that time, the human being's love for God was a little bit like the child feels to the mother. Mother, please, I'm so alone. Mother, don't put me in the corner. Mother, look at me. Mother, be pleased with me. Or hit me, but don't, or punish me, but don't reject me. I need you. No, this is the first thing. Then human society is turned away from thinking of God like the great mother, because society got into what is called patriarchy, you know, where the man and the rule of the man was more appreciated. And at that time, the image of God was no longer that of the mother. Can you imagine what it became? The father, yes. And the love which we human beings at that time of our development thought is the God of God, that God loves us in a fatherly way. The father doesn't love unconditionally. The mother loves unconditionally. No, the father, the love is dependent on obedience to rules and laws. The divine father punishes and rewards men accordingly. I know I was terrible in school because I never went there. I always played somewhere as a child, and I always brought back bad notes because I just had zero interest in this. And I remember when my father saw the bad notes and my absent-minded school behavior, I was not even absent-minded, I was just absent. He was very angry with me. You're born in a good family. You are a disgrace to the family. When will you ever learn? Come now. Pulled me by the ear. Put me over the lap. When it was very bad, he uncovered my behind. When it was not so bad, my notes went with. And then, pong, a solid spanking was there. Ooh, when I remember it, I shudder. Then I cried, Father doesn't love me. No. Then my mother came. Mother's love was unconditional. You have bad notes? She asked, yes, very bad notes. I just can't concentrate. I can't relate to the school. And now Father has hit me. He doesn't like me. Oof. What to do? What to do is simple, said my mother. I cooked your favorite pudding. You eat that, and you become joyful in nature, and you run around and scream because I love you, even if you have bad notes. Oh, wonderful. My dear devotees, when Nietzsche proclaimed his famous and so often misquoted sentence, God is dead, he spoke about the father concept of God, who punishes and rewards according to how we behave. He said in another part of his literature, I give the greatest curse on Christianity. Christianity has replaced the concept of God, the loving God, with a God who is conditional, who punishes and rewards according to what we do. Christianity has taken everything away from us that is natural and good. That is he believed in the Celtic religion, you know, where God was at the divine mother. Yeah. Therefore, I declare, God is dead. He didn't mean, he meant one understanding of God is dead. This concept, no? Yeah. I told you I would take you a little on a journey on this thing. And so humanity has progressed, or not progressed, has moved through the ages, and the image of God has been, has further transformed. Now people think more of symbols or of values of God. God is love is a very common understanding. Justice, truth, no? So all these understandings and loves towards God and from God to us are in the world concepts. They are not transcendental. They are not spiritual. They are not love beyond love. They are not what we talk about in bhakti. What we talk about in bhakti is explained in the first verse of the Priti Sandarbha, the work on love by Jiva Goswami. Can I quote this to you? Good. This passage opens with something very, very profound. All human beings are intent on priti or love alone. They want love alone. All human beings. Since, for the sake of love, they give up their selves, their own selves, their own interests, and so forth, if they just can get this love. But the human beings are not finding a worthy object of priti, because no object in samsara, the world of birth and death, can ever give rise to a permanent and superlative happiness, free from the tinge of suffering. You cannot find love here that gives you a permanent happiness. Sometimes, yes, the relationships go well, and sometimes there are happy times, but sometimes there's misunderstanding. There is a clash between different conditioned natures which give rise to further bad feelings about each other, no? So therefore the human being inevitably shift their love here and there. That is, from one object to another, be it a person, a physical entity, an idea, they fall in love with an idea like communism or socialism or a nation or otherwise. And then Jiva Goswami, do you follow this?
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yes.
The fulfillment of this longing for love, shall occur only in Sri Bhagavan. Because only by attaining priti, that is divine love, for Sri Bhagavan, does one attain superlative happiness and eliminate suffering absolutely. Even the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord informs us, even at the time of death, there's so much suffering. You are separated from everything and everything you love and everyone you appreciate and love in some ways, no? Even then, a person who loves Sri Bhagavan, Krishna, is very happy. So my dear devotees, where are we going to get this love from? Where do you think it is available? What path do you have to take to find what your soul is longing and what you pretend to not know? Love of Krishna, divine love and closeness to Krishna. How will you go there? At the end of the 86th chapter of the 10th canto, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ends with a very amazing prayer that gives an answer to the question where to find love. This work is, this chapter is so amazing, my dear devotees. If you like to explore our philosophy, if you like to become convinced that bhakti is all in all, you must read you must study this chapter, 87 prayers by the personified Vedas. It's where the whole Vedic scriptures glorify Krishna. So this is what Vishwanath says, where you can get it. O devotees, he says. He is very moved. It's the last purport on the most amazing chapter of the Bhagavatam. There may be, I can't say most amazing, there are many most amazing chapters. So, O devotees, he says. It's so beautiful, it needs a little orchestra at the back. O devotees, this poor creature standing at your doorway is wagging his tail and barking. Please let him have a little prasadam so that he may become exceptional among dogs and get the best of masters as his owner. Dear devotees, I'm standing before your closed door. I'm trying to get your attention by making loud sounds, bark, bark, bark. But I'm friendly. Don't chase me away because I bark. I'm wagging with my tail. Can't you see? Please give me a little of what you have, the prasad of love of Krishna, so that I may become exceptional among dogs, a love dog, and get the best of masters as his owner. A little while ago, we were in one very nice place in Braj, and there was a dog who somehow loved the devotees, and he was jumping at the devotees, and there were when he jumped at Vamataji, she went yak, you know, because the dog, you know, dog, where did he stick his nose the 1 hour ago, you know, it's dirty and infectious and so on. But the dog was just so loving. It wagged its tail, and it came, and it couldn't be chased away. Devotees took stones in their hands to make the gesture. The dog just wagged its tail. Finally, the devotees said, okay, let him come with us. Here you have your chapati. Eat a little distance from us, please, 1-2 meters distance. And some very kind devotees developed loving affection for the dog, and the dog followed us everywhere around. You know? So this is the image. You get your chapati of love of Krishna by standing at your door, at the doorways of devotees, and begging them and showing signs of eagerness, like the, I mean, we have to show it differently than a dog, that is service, humble questions, you know, not demanding questions, and then it can be given. This is from Srila Vishwanath's Thakur's purport on 10.87.50. It's at the very end. No? 10.87.50. So just like at other times in the Gita, he gives the same similar image. Just like a beggar goes to a rich householder to beg his meal, in the same way we have to go to the lovers of Krishna, the devotees who have love of Krishna, humbly serve them, inquire them, and so on, and then this taste comes. But my dear devotees, let us know, the item we speak about is something that the world of psychology cannot give you, a therapist cannot give you, a literature of this world, I'm not speaking of shastras, self-help literature cannot give you. It is a different entity. Jiva Goswami quotes Matara Shruti in order to tell us just how special bhakti is. Can I share this verse with you? Bhaktir evainam nayati, bhaktir evainam dashati, bhakti vasa purushaha, bhaktir eva puyasi. Bhakti brings one to the Supreme Lord. It brings you there, like a vehicle. Bhakti reveals one. No, bhakti reveals to one the Supreme Lord. If you have bhakti, the Lord is revealed in your heart. Bhakti brings the Supreme Lord under its control. The devotee dances, Bhagavan dances, and bhakti dances. They are all bound in a hold. Bhakti is stronger than the Supreme Lord. He becomes convinced by bhakti. So this is what we wish to have, and this is why we are making this effort to explore this little work, Braj Vilas Stava. I want to repeat the verse again, which I quoted initially. Hari Gopat Shoni Pati. Neither Hari himself nor Nanda, the king of the cowherds, nor his faithful wife Yashoda, nor any other inhabitant of Braj could melt my icy heart. It remained as cruel and cold as ever. Do you sometimes feel this? You're trying, but the heart is still a coal mine. The more you wash, the more coal comes out, it seems, at times. But what a miracle! As soon as I began contemplating the way the inhabitants of Braj love Hari, and the way he reciprocates, I felt my icy heart melt in the fire of their love. Are you still listening?
Yes.
Good. A little while ago, I told you this about this love of the Brajavasis for Krishna. Krishna was sitting somewhere surrounded by his cowherd boys, and a wind came and lifted his dhoti, and thereupon parts of his beautiful leg was exposed. The cowherd boys looked at it, and they were so overwhelmed that they responded in such a loving way. Let's have a festival on the occasion of the wind blowing and showing us yet another attractive feature of our Krishna. No? Yes. That is what we pray for. Like a husband looks at his newly wedded bride when they meet privately, in the same way the devotee wants to see the rupa of Krishna, no? The leg of Krishna, everything. So this love comes in three ways. But before we go to the three ways, I want to make an exercise with you. I want you to really find out what is at present on your mind. We know loving emotions usually takes predominance over others. But let us now be very honest with ourselves and perhaps our partner. If we can't be honest to the ultimate level, then we can, you know, speak what we feel comfortable to speak. For this exercise, we first need to turn to a neighbor. Don't worry, it won't be scary. It's not like psychoanalysis or something. It will be very comfortable. You might laugh and joke and feel extreme happiness in doing this exercise. Ananta Gauranga, you have found a partner? Acha, he's a good partner. Who has not yet found a partner? Okay, Madhavananda has not yet. Look around if there is someone who raises their hand. Then you can join a group of two and then you form a group of three. Everyone has found a partner? Yes? No? Not sure? Yes, we have found a partner. The Matajis already start talking. Now listen about what we talk. It's nice to see you. Very. Oops. Let me see this with the glasses. So, please, everyone, we want to now find out what is on our minds and so on. First question. What do you think about all the time or most of the time? What is your most frequent thought? Start now. Give the other person a chance to also talk. We have only a short time, Prabhus. Hare Krishna, thank you. We will go to the third Prahlad. Can we jump over the second? Yes, we can. So, my dear devotees, this is a fast one. It is a lightning speed exercise, no? Best is you answer what comes spontaneously to your mind. So, we will go to the third question. We jump over the second because we don't have the time. What do you trust will solve your problems? Start now. Try to be honest. Real talk is required. Given opportunity for your partner to speak? Okay, Prabhus. We have a few more. Actually, we will only do one more. Thank you very much, Prabhus. Mataji's. Fourth question. What is so important to you that you will sacrifice all else for it? Start now. Some of you look as though I have nothing for what I sacrifice, everything. Think perhaps your Krishna conscious path or your favorite vest. We have only one more minute, so please give it all you have. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. You can continue discussing this or thinking about this when you go to the valley or later. Mm-hmm. My dear devotees, this was an important exercise. Why did we do it? You can decide, you can know where you are in your spiritual life by checking where your mind is, where your intentions are, where your consciousness is. So when you can answer, I think about all the time of Krishna, if that is your answer, first question, no? What do you think about all the time? If you say, if the answer is Krishna, we could say you are Krishna conscious. If your answer to the third question is Krishna, what do you trust will solve your problems? Krishna. Then you would be Krishna conscious. When this next question comes, what is so important that you will sacrifice all else for this? If your answer is Krishna, then you are Krishna conscious. If you have other answers, then you are not yet fully Krishna conscious, but only partially Krishna conscious. What do you... This is sobering, no? I didn't introduce, if I would have introduced the thing. See, we will ask you questions, and for all questions, there's only one answer, Krishna. You, that is members of a movement, would have always answered Krishna. But I needed to surprise you so that you would become real and understand where you are, so that you would feel a need to find out how can I become Krishna conscious. In every single case, when there was danger, Brijbasis would call out, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Krishna, save us. And when there were problems, Krishna. And they sacrificed all else. Who is the example of the greatest sacrifice? The gopis, yes. They sacrificed their good name and fame. They would be slandered on internet if there would be internet at that time. But in a way, you have no idea how heavy. We don't have such words as were used in that time for a woman who would leave her husband for someone else. But they risked all. They sacrificed all else. This is what we talk when we talk about love of Godhead. It is your answers most probably were from the point of need. What do you think about all the time? The unfinished house, and more specific, the kitchen inside, you know, and so on. No? But we need to raise our consciousness to another level. And this is done by hearing some examples. We will hear now from Vajvilasattva, text 22, about a very dear friend of Krishna who almost, who his hands and his feet are absolutely similar to the hand and feet of Radharani. Even his face shows very, very similar facial features. He is one of the best friends of Krishna. Gadanuraga Bharato Virahasya Vidya Svapnepi Gokula Viduna Jahati Hastam Yo Radhika Pranaya Nijara. I offer my obeisances unto Subal, the embodiment of overwhelming love, who loves Krishna, the moon of Gokula, so much, listen to this, that even in his dreams, he won't let go of the hand of Krishna because he's afraid he will be separated from him. And Subal has a heart that is showered by streams of Radhika's love. Why this is so, we will hear in a moment. Radha loves Subal, differently from Krishna, of course, but she is very grateful to him. How does Subal look? His bodily luster defeats the luster of gold. Yes, if he looks so similar to Radha, then it's only it must be gold. She has a golden effulgence, no? Subal has a bodily luster that defeats goals. And he wears a necklace, and the color of his dhoti is, listen to this, green. Now, in the knowledge of color, green is the color of separation. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would at times, not when he was in public, dress in green. Yes, I heard. He has eyes that resemble blue lotus flowers. Why blue? Because he always looks at Krishna. He's always together with Krishna, even in his dreams. And Krishna is dark blue. And Subal delights his friends. He is what is called a Priyanama Sakha. A little later we will hear what that means. Krishna's, one of Krishna's greatest friends. And he is always standing by the side of Krishna. You will always find Subal with this golden effect, golden effulgence in his green dhoti. Sometimes, when Krishna is despondent, he whispers something in Krishna's ear. This, perhaps you couldn't hear the whisper because whispers are only meant for the person in whose ear that is whispered, but he whispers news about Radha and where to find her and how to overcome the obstacles to meet Radha. There are a few other Priyanama Sakas, Ujvala for instance. When the divine couple is separated for some time, Srimati Radharani will write a letter to Krishna, and Ujjwal will collect that letter and place it at Krishna's feet in a secluded place where Krishna can read this letter again and again, like we heard in the poetry of Padyavali. These confidential friends of Krishna almost die of misery, my dear devotees, if they don't see Krishna even for a moment. In Krishna book it is described, in the Bhagavatam, ultimately how Krishna walks with his friends through the forest of Vrindavan, and sometimes he's not visible because he's just walking behind a tree. They are here and Krishna walks here. And then these friends become so anxious. Not only in daytime, when Subal is awake, is he afraid to be separated from Krishna. No, even in the dreams, when he has a dream, let us say, of eating a mango or something, he becomes anxious. Where's Krishna? And he does not even in his dreams, he does not let go of Krishna's hands. My dear devotees, this is a very exalted form of love, which is not known to those who are in the Shanta Ras, the neutral Ras, the yogis who meditate about the Supreme Brahman, which pervades everything. They feel they are always in that Brahman. I don't think they would say effulgence, the ocean of Brahman. And they are totally peaceful. They feel no separation. Above them are what rasas? How do we define the rasas, please? Dasya rasas. These dasya bhaktas, or servant devotees, are different. They experience the feelings of meeting Krishna and separation. Krishna. But they are a little shy and they are very hesitant. For them, Krishna is the prince, the son of the king, who needs to be dealt with some respect. They would never wrestle with Krishna or do such things. They always carry items of service like his water flask or so on. And they wait for the merciful glance of the Lord before they dare to step forward and come close. Now, the next is what ras? Sakya ras. Here devotees in Sakya ras feel very close, so close that they consider their own hands and feet to be non-different from the hands and feet of the beloved. Yeah. Now, so just like no one can tolerate the separation of a hand or a foot of one's body, you know, can you imagine you come too close to one of these hay cutting machines and the hand, where's my hand, I need it, you know. You can't imagine to lose it. So in this way, Subal is not able to imagine existing even for a moment without Krishna. Krishna is so close, he's mine. He belongs to me like my hand or my feet. And that is love. That is so strong that even the night's sleep can't separate the devotee from Krishna. Not even in dreams they feel separated. Subal Saka is such a great lover of Krishna that he loves Krishna, the moon of Gokul, who puts light to Gokul, in such a way that not even in the dreams he can let go of the hand of Krishna, because he is afraid to be separated from him. In great love, the lover cannot tolerate the separation from the beloved. I give an innocent example. I don't wish to talk about the relationships between men and women, because that's not my... sometimes I can mention, but not go into psychological details. Let's stay with the mother's love to the child. The mother's love to the child is so great, he cannot tolerate being separated. My mother loved me very much. She told me once, we would play, and she would throw me in the air. I was very heavy at that time. I was very fat, a very fat baby, and I was laughing the whole day. I remember that, so seeing pictures. Yeah. So my mother threw me up, and I would say, I would scream, "Higher, higher, higher!" So I didn't know many words at that time, but higher I knew. So mother threw me as much, but then she felt a feeling in her heart. Oh my God, if I throw my little angel too high, he may fly away. It's an irrational thought. I mean, no baby has wings to fly, you know. But that's how love is. It just cannot imagine separation from that person you love. It's not possible. It's not possible. So this is the examples. But why does Radha love Subala? You must know, because of this look-alike, Subala's hands and feet, and also even his face was so similar that once a particular pastime took place that is celebrated even in ISKCON temple. I mean, why do I say even? Also in ISKCON temples on one day of the year. It was one day where Subal looked at Krishna and saw Krishna was so dejected, and every moment he became more dejected. He sat on a stone like this. Subal said, asked, "What's wrong, Krishna?" "Nothing." And Krishna began to cry. "I am here," said Subal. "We can solve this. What's wrong?" "No, Radha. Radha is not here." And Krishna was yearning and longing so much. No? Bhakti subordinates the Lord, we heard. Radha's bhakti, or love, so strong. "Yeah," said Subha, "but this is a difficult time for Radha to get out of the house. It is in Yavat. It's impossible to meet her now." "Yes," said Krishna, "I know." And started even to cry more. And Subha said, "Nothing is impossible in Vrindavan." So he thought very strongly and he got an idea. So he left Krishna and went to Yavat And when he came to Yavat, he saw in the doorway, the entrance, Jatila was there, sitting like this, you know. In other words, blocking the entrance. No one could come in, no one could come in, no one could go out. What do you want here? You are with that black person? Go. Abhine, Vatme. Not now, I can go later. One of my young bulls ran away, he's somewhere, and I need to find him, he belongs to the herd. This is a language Yatila could understand. She is also, cows is the wealth of Yatila. Okay, said Yatila. Where could he be? Well, I think he perhaps ran in the courtyard of the house. I have already looked around your house. Ah, said Yatila. I have just eaten my lunch. I'm immovable at the moment. You just step over my feet and you look there. So Subal did not, he had to pass through the courtyard, but he went immediately into Radharani's room and said, quick, you need to go to Krishna. Radharani knew Subal as the very dear friend of Krishna and has implicit faith, said, but how will I go? And the old hag is sitting in the doorway, you know, no one can pass. How did you pass? She said, I should pass. It's simple, said Subal. Our feet and hands look very similar. Our face looks very similar. So I give you my cloth, you give me your cloth. And then you go out of the house and I stay in pretending to be Radha. Good idea, said Radharani, and they changed. Radharani is very shy. She went someplace, changed, and came back with turban, with dhoti, looked like Subal. You can see on some of our altars during one day of the year, Gopastami, yes. You can see even in the Radharani sari always covers her feet, but now she is in a dhoti and her feet are visible, no? So Subha looked. You need to carry a calf because you are a lady and you need to hold the calf to your, so that your chest is not visible. So they found a calf. There's always calves around in Braj, and Radharani came to Jatila, who was sitting in the doorway. Jatila very angrily said, okay, you found your bull, now go. Go back to that black person. Radha couldn't be more happy yet. And said, I will do what you say, mother. Then a little later came so Subal was trapped in this house. He also wanted to be with Krishna. He cannot go without Krishna for a moment. So he came in the dress of Radha and he said, Jatila looked at him and he said, "What are you doing here in this house? You should be out in Suryakund doing Surya Puja. It's noon time. Noon. Go now." And Subal, in a very Radha-like voice, I don't want to say it because Radha's voice is so sweet and we should not joke about these divine things. So Subal, in the voice of Radha, said, "Yes, I will go very quickly and don't forget the articles for worship." So he or she took the articles of worship and went out. So Radharani now comes to the place which Subal had indicated, where Krishna is. And Krishna is crying, which Radha sees as a sign of his inconceivable love. And she tests Krishna. In the voice of Subal, she says, "No need to cry, Radha cannot come. Why don't you go to Chandravali?" So then Krishna, no. And then Radha understands the nature of his one-pointed love. And she gives away the turban and the locks come. And Krishna looks at her, "You're not Subal, you're Radha." And the divine couple meets. No? So for this and other such services, Radharani is so happy with Subal that this last thing is here, "Yo Radhika Pranaya Nirjara." Subal's heart is always... No, there was another one. This is one translation. The other says, "His heart is showered by the streams of Radhika's love." Actually, with this translation, I got it wrong, my dear devotees. Radha is grateful, but we can never really say she loves someone else than Krishna. There is no one else. But Subal loves Radha. His heart is full with love, not of Radha, but for Radha. No? This is his exalted nature. Wonderful nature. How do you like Subal Sakha? I like this image very much of Subal Sakha never letting go of Krishna's hands, not even in his dreams. When I think of myself, I dream so many things, you know, but rarely about Krishna. So this is an example, and by hearing about these examples more and more, we realize to some degree with our intelligence the sweetness of this extraordinary love, and then we become inclined to serve Radha and Krishna favorably, and finally one becomes so overwhelmed with the strong desire to serve Radha and Krishna, that one approaches this thing. We will leave the list of questions. It's not my list, it was given by our Keshava Maharaj, Swayam Bhagavan Keshava Maharaj. I thought it is a very nice thing. You might take a snapshot after the lecture, and maybe if after 2 years you have different answers than the ones which you gave now, you have made some progress. Very nice. Good, my dear devotees, I want to end here. Krishna. But for just a moment to end this, we will just go in, because it says we should remember an associate. Here is Subal. Would you please like to sit straight. Let's do a few bhastika pranayams to get into a wakeful mood, you know. You look so nice doing this. Do you feel you get into another mental wavelength? Five, one, two, three, four, five. Sit straight. Breathe by extending your exhale a little. See the color of gold. It comes from Subal, whose bodily luster defeats gold. So there's a golden boy now. He wears a necklace and he's dressed in a green dhoti. His eyes resemble blue lotus flowers, and he delights his friends. He makes jokes, he serves them, especially Krishna. Let us now contemplate the verse which describes Subal. I offer my obeisances unto Subal. You might like to bow down in your mind's eye. I offer my obeisances unto Subal, the embodiment of overwhelming love. Subal loves Krishna, the moon of Gokula, so much that even in his dreams, he will not let go of his hand because he is afraid of being separated from him. And Subal has great affection for Srimati Radharani. While we sing, try to remember something. The easiest is the gold and effulgence, no? Krishna, Krishna Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama 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 Rama. Hare Krishna. So, what do you all think? These are important subjects, no? I want to encourage you. It's not the love of Krishna is possible for all of you because it resides in your heart as a potential that can be awakened through the process, through the mercy of devotees and the process of devotional service. Second reason why you should be hopeful is that in this age of Kali, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden avatar, has appeared so that to give that love which is very rare, which is very high also, he says, here take. And how do we take it? How do we get it? Well, we chant the holy name while making sure that there are no offenses left in our mind. And like this, no? We engage our bodies in the processes of bhakti and our minds as well, and then we chant more and we hear more, and as a result, it will come. Therefore, I will leave you with two questions. The first question is, this is for pondering, no? For your mananam and nijasam. What and whom do I presently really love? There is a paradox. Only if you accept yourself the way you are now can you change yourself. Once again, only if you accept yourself the way you are now and don't hallucinate yourself away from that can you change yourself, no? And the second is there anything that I, please listen, that I already know but often forget that I can do to improve my love for Krishna? Is there such a thing? These are things to ponder about, to think about. I think Prahlad Nrisimha, we let this on so that devotees can, in peace of mind, can copy it. Hare Krishna. I must say something personal. You are a wonderful audience. Sometimes I'm afraid that if I talk so, you know, the first part where we talked, what really are we talking about when we talk of bhakti? And then when I come and I destroy the romantic, sentimental notions about bhakti by going through history and you know, showing what the mundane love of a human being for God is and how it changes and so on over time. I fear that I'm discouraging you, but this is meant to encourage you to go for the real thing in life, because let me remember a sentence. Shadows cannot satisfy you because they don't deliver taste. They only can deliver a temporary fascination at best. Good. So Hare Krishna, let me now secretly look at the wristwatch. It's almost too good to stop, no? You look so thoughtful. Is it okay what you hear?
Yes.
Is it of interest?
Yes.
How can you say no? Yeah. No, Maharaj, not of interest. Talk normal things to us. make jokes, interactive. Yes. It is 4:15 and I really want to come to Burijan's class. Before that you need to take prasadam and you may need to breathe a little in and out and think and so on. Please think about the questions. Hare Krishna, we are closing the lecture here. Next time I will end a little bit earlier. Oh yeah, I promised you I have the solution for all your problems. It's in this little bag. It is called hot hands. Hand warmers. What you can do is you activate these things by opening it at the designed place, then you shake it a little in the air and put it perhaps at a pocket, or when the night is too cold you can put it, take it with you, and as a result you will be very heated, warm. So what we will do is, I will give this to Ananta Gauranga, who will stand at the exit, and those who need it, there are two in one, I don't know if we can separate them. It's my gift to those who are, like me, suffering very easily from cold. Hare Krishna.